It's a smaller group today, which is nice. I think it's there's no doubt who the Lord is speaking to today with us being here. I'll tell you beforehand, it's been going through Bible college. I studied through many of the whole books, listened to whole teachings through whole books, but going through this one with you guys, preparing for these studies, has been just a great time with the Lord. It really developed my understanding of what God wants from His people, and even especially going through this fundamental book with you guys. The beginning of a new year is always interesting time of year for me. I think people naturally reflect on how it went. It's ups, it's downs, the hills and valleys. Reflection usually turning itself into charting a path forward, making some new resolutions, a little less of this, a little more of that. It's a fresh start. It's a fresh sense of optimism, a new beginning. Out with the old, in with the new. I like it. It's a good time of year for me. If I can say one thing, as you look back, give yourself a little credit. You know, it's easy for man to look back and see the worst of what he's done, especially God-fearing people, as I know, are sitting in this room today. It's easy to focus upon those things, but I think God would also reveal to us those successes from the year. My encouragement for the upcoming year would be to build on that. Test all the ways that you can draw near to God. Excite yourself to get up in the morning and meet with Him, to be part of His presence in this upcoming year. And most of all, forgive those who failed you in the last year. Take short accounts of those things. I titled today's message, New Year, New Man. And ladies, I don't mean get you a new husband. As we've been progressing through the foundational truths of Ephesians, through this very real life-informing book, we have come to a portion of practical life application. Appropriately, might add, on a day where it's a new year, where there's a new year dawning, 2024, and also that we take communion, the first communion of a brand new year. Let us just go to the Word together. The portion today is going to be Ephesians 4:17 through 24. And it says this: "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, we just come before you today, God, to exalt you, to bring our lives of sacrifice before you, Lord, to bring our new fresh start, this new year of 2024 before you, God. And we lay out our personal ambitions, we lay out our desires, Lord, and we just lay them at your feet. Lord, we ask, God, that in 2024 that you would do a work in us that's mighty to save people in our community. Lord, that you would bring about first revival in our own lives, God, as we look to you, God, that you would bring about spiritual strength, new giftings amongst the body here. Lord, that you would use us as a people to meet your plan and your need for the people that are lost and looking for you in our community. Lord, we pray you would give us direction on people to speak to, people that need to know you. Lord, that even that you would fill this room, Lord, with people that would glorify you, that would, Lord, bring prayer before you. Lord, that you would honor your son, Jesus, through this people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And I just want to say, one thing that always impresses me is how you guys continually bring prayer, the prayers of the congregation and the prayers of others outside, before the Lord. And I just pray in 2024 that he would show you, give you a little glimpse of how those prayers are being answered, that's not just a work in futility, but it's a good, honest work. I know a lot of people, since I've been saved, have been praying for me, even before, have been praying for me, and I can always sense strength in the spirit when some of those people just bring me before the Lord. So I can just always appreciate what you guys are doing with that. Last time we were together, we learned about the gifts that God has given to us as individuals to build up the collective body, his church. His plan for us as his church would be that we use these gifts to build up one another towards maturity and unity within the church body. A God-given, God-empowered responsibility. Conversely, here in verse 17, we see Paul giving an emphatic statement. Therefore, don't walk as the Gentiles in the futility of their minds. Paul is saying, in light of God's gifting, God's empowerment for each, remember the context here. We're still in chapter 4. We started out with the message, walk worthy. Walking worthy of what God has called us to, the life, what he's equipped us with, the gifts, and his plan. He's given us a path and called us to walk worthy. To walk, the act of walking, is to push forward and progress along that path that he has laid out for us. His insights, his wisdom, his guidance for us. It should look like forbearance, love, unity. It should look like building each other up in the knowledge of God. That's keeping early chapter 4 in our mind. Now, Paul is giving a stark contrast here. He says that our walk should not look like the Gentiles, shouldn't look like the world. It should be different. Paul is painting a picture that Christians should have a supernatural power through the Holy Spirit that is not evident or available to the unbeliever, giving us the ability to look different. A direction, a purpose, commitment, perseverance, intentionality to love, a people set apart by the Creator himself. The worldly man is after the glory the gold and the girls. Sorry, my Bible college pastor taught it to me that way, and I just never forget that. Let me have the next slide. It should be 1 John, slide 6. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." We should be back to slide 5 here. 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Paul goes on to identify three major issues with the worldly person or the Gentile here. A darkened understanding, alienated from the life of God, and a blindness in their heart. In other words, they cannot see clearly. Rebellion against God and his moral character has blinded them. John 3:19 and 20 shares this same idea. Should be slide 7. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." The idea is a simple one, I think. Man loves doing evil deeds, denies God's existence, fundamentally makes him ignorant. This is the worldly man. This is the foundation he builds his life on is ignorance. Blind to God's will and to God's plan. Being past feeling, in verse 19, has the idea in the Greek of something being calloused over. The ESV, in fact, translates this more literally, having become callous. Have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lewdness meaning sin that flaunts itself, unashamed, that flaunts itself and is unashamed, allowing for all types of sin. In fact, the idea being expressed here is being passionate towards the sin, or in other words, to sum it up, hardened towards, boasting about, and passionate for all types of sin. Verse 20, slide 8. But you have not so learned. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, it was interesting when I was preparing this, I really wrestled with this like I have not wrestled with whatever it is, 8 verses. I really, really wrestled with this. I felt like the concepts being shared were so easily spiritually understood, but so hard to explain. I feel like with the ministry of God that we understand these different areas in our life where God is working. He's telling us to do better. He's telling us to be better. He's showing us how to be better. And these simple concepts, like put off this old man stuff. It's like, well, what are we talking about? Where's our list of old man stuff? Well, I think each individual knows what his old man stuff is. Not only that, if you looked back in your life with Christ, if you look back, you would see your old man stuff has changed from today, yesterday. It's all been developing as you've been growing in Christ. And so I really felt like, man, so much of this is spiritually going to be spiritually understood, but God bless me either way. Paul is saying here, if you've experienced Jesus in a real way, he has shown you the basic truth that the old man was dead and dying, those things that we were doing as unbelievers, those things that we had learned and been taught, were dead and dying, that you being in rebellion against God, and the consequences were in fact hell. Also, I would add, for the believer, these old behaviors are leading to death, leading to a death as well, a spiritual death. The idea is that Paul is cleaning up these old ways because some of these Christians in Ephesus that were living with these old man behaviors, these things from the past, were taking away from what God was trying to do spiritually in their lives. We won't ever become sinless by our own work, but with Jesus' help, we will all sin a little less. And that's the expectation. The process of being sanctified should be going on day by day, month by month, and year by year. We are co-laborers with Christ in this process, and this is the call here, that we lay down these old ways, that we're walking this path, that we're moving forward, and that we're laying down these old things as God reveals them. You know, I have an interesting testimony about early in my Christian walk. I came from a very, very crazy life. I grew up with drug addict parents, and I immediately into the world, was into theft, was into drugs very quickly, and it's really all I knew. But at the point where I get saved, I start going to this good Bible teaching church where they're teaching through all these books verse by verse. They go just verse by verse through the whole Bible. You know, it takes a few years or whatever, but so I'm sitting there for about 2 or 3 years, and I forget exactly what point, but God worked through so many things in there. I remember I was a bad liar. Like I would always be lying about something, even in my Christian walk. And I remember God revealing to me these lies, and it was usually to like build myself up in some way. It was some embellishment that I felt like people would make me look better. It was at that point, right? I wasn't no longer like stealing or doing anything like that. So I wasn't like trying to cover up any sort of real big issue, no drugs or anything like that. But I would always put myself forward for sure. And so I remember God working with me on this, and the process in which he had convicted in the spirit to do was, when I lied, that I would reveal to whoever I just lied the fact that I had just lied. And this was, in the beginning, this was the worst. It was like, I remember the first time when I was probably an easier one, you know, like that's not completely true. You know, the number was 5, not 55, you know, whatever the case was. But I remember walking through that process with God and immediately coming clean about these lies. And what ended up happening was that I didn't want to keep embarrassing. Putting myself forward through the lie had lost its power, because now I was going to have to reveal and take away from all that glory I had just given myself. I was going to have to reveal that. So that's just the testimony I thought was applicable here. That because there's this idea being shared of this sanctifying process that we are part of, that we need to engage into. And even when I was doing this study, I was kind of convicted in the sense that for a while, I hadn't really engaged in this sanctification process. I was doing what I wanted regardless of what the Lord was speaking to me. And even if I look back, I can start to see how the purified life was starting to be torn down by these areas which I was refusing to really address. And so my encouragement is just like, as you think about these things today, maybe you have some old man stuff, some old man tendencies. As you think through those things, just be bold with that. Work through it. Like, I think that's why these verses were so hard for me as I was working through these, is because I was really just trying to wrestle with God about giving up on some of these areas where he was telling me, hey, give this or that up. We should be slide 9 here. Verses 23 and 24. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind is a process of coming from that death to life. We were dead to sin and its lies. It was literally killing us spiritually. Mindless to the things of God, not even on our radar. And even some godliness that God has for us that he wants to put on our radar is tied up in some of these old man things. At least it was for me. That's what I kind of discovered. Wondering about trying to make sense of it all. But now through the... wandering about trying to make sense of it all. But now through the Spirit of God living in us, we now have access to the answers, to the truths of God through his word. And now we just need to but search it out. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Right? The same idea. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't do the things that the world is doing, but become the new creation you were always meant to be in Christ. How are we doing this? How are we going about this? Will we go about this? What will we do here? It's about knowing the truth of God. This is what's bringing the revelation. That's coming through reading of his word, through prayer and answered prayer, and communing with God through the Spirit, practicing the presence, as I have heard it put. It says here to put on the new man. It had painted us a picture to take off the old, telling us to cut loose these things that were holding us back spiritually. But now he's saying to put on the new man, these precepts that we've learned. It's a call towards the image of Christ himself, and invitation to practice the things revealed through the Spirit as well as through his word. This isn't necessarily a list of things to do when you become a Christian. This is the idea of doing the next thing as revealed by the Spirit of God. And this is, as I was wrestling through this, this is what I'm starting to realize is like, yeah, there's all these things. There's all these areas I've fallen short in the past year. There's all this stuff. Like saying, making some commitment to not making these mistakes in the future year is like impossible. But God's revealing here that this is not just like a list of things to pick up at the grocery store. This is be in communion with God. Let the power of his Spirit do these works through us. And just be mindful of what we're doing today, what we're doing this month, what we're doing overall. Created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We were born into this world in the image of Adam, dead to sin, on a path to destruction. Being born again of the Spirit of God, we are a new creation, made in the image of Jesus. This is the image we are being called by God to partner in creating, both in ourselves, right, this interpersonal work that we've been kind of speaking of, but as well, we're still in chapter 4 here, and these ideas are also for the body, right? So as well as ourselves, we are also using our spiritual gifts, our spiritual abilities in those that are around us, helping them, discipling others and such and so forth. Next slide. Should be slide 11, too. I'm not sure. Slide 11. It's 1 Peter 1:15 through 17. It says, and I'll close with this, and then we'll enter into this time of communion together. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And this is another thing I've been kind of wrestling through, is this fear of the Lord. I think we've watered this down. I think there's some teachers that can take credit of it. Even when the Old Testament verse, if you went back and read the Old Testament verse from today, there's the fear of the Lord and kind of starting to define what that looks like and why. In fact, I heard it like last week. I heard a teacher say, like, this is this reverential fear. And I think you guys have probably heard this before too. But I don't, not that there shouldn't be reverence towards the Lord, but I also feel like there's this, hey, this God is all powerful and he is disciplining his kids. He is, I know if I discipline my kids, they're afraid. There's real fear there, and I don't think that's far off of what the fear of the Lord is. But something to just think about. The other thing is this, something to ponder today. It's so spot on just with where we're at today, for the beginning of this year. I would definitely encourage you to take some time and ponder that as well. But it's with this holiness in mind that we enter into a time of communion together. And if I can have the ushers do that, distribute. Is that? Do we come up and get that, or is each individual person, or I'm probably doing it a little bit different. Is probably why I'm gonna have everybody get the elements, and then. I have a portion which I'm going to do, and then he's going to put on a song, and we're just going to do a time of reflection as we enter into this new year together. But am I missing something else? I just don't know. Good quiet.